Well, good morning again. Good to see you, all of you. Turn to Psalm 139. Hold that for just a moment. And most of you know that have been here any length of time in the church that for many years I've had the tradition of reflecting back on the previous calendar year. It is, in doing this, it's an emotional journey to think back on your lives, our lives, together, over this past year. And now that we're almost at 50 family units, it's a bit overwhelming. I may be at the end of being able to do this, because there's so much that comes and I get overwhelmed thinking back. But saints, our days are in God's hands. Our days are in His hand. God will take care of us. He does take care of us. Yes, our days are what He's ordained. So let's turn to Psalm 139. You may remember a portion of this that David is writing. He is profoundly reflecting on God knitting him together in his mother's womb, forming him, giving life, substance. But I want us to see in David's saying this, what else he says about the whole of his life. We're only going to look at two verses. I'm going to read it out of the New American Standard Bible today. I love the way it reads in this translation. 139, verse 15 and 16. David says, "My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret," meaning in his mother's womb, "and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." Verse 16. "Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." Amen. May God bless His word to His people. Let me pray again. Father, we declare right now together Your preeminent and great and glorious, and You are the God who has taken care of us. Without a doubt, You have kept us, carried us, loved us. You are the great God who shepherds Your flock. Thank You. Thank You for the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus. Thank You for the Spirit of God, even now shepherding us. We ask You to draw us today in this time, and let it be helpful to all of us as we think on the mercies of God towards us and Your care. Bless it. Bless Your flock. Magnify Your glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. Yes, we come to the end of another year, and they fly by fast, don't they? Really fast. Anybody remember Y2K? 19 years ago. Some of you young people are going, "I don't really know about Y2K. 19 years ago, they do fly by fast. The years, they fly very fast. But as time flies by, it's important for us, you, me, all of us, to remember and reflect on the days that God has given us. I know we're always looking forward, the next thing. But there's times we need to stop and consider and look back. Christians before us were really good at this. And they wrote about it. And they recorded it because those were Ebenezers in their life to the glory of God and for their own faith. We need to be good at it too. Good reflectors, good rememberers. God commands us to remember in the Psalms and in the different passages. He commands His people to remember His mercies, His deliverances, His provisions, His steadfast love, and His daily care for us. We ought to be constantly saying, "God did this for us, and God rescued here, and God brought provision here. God carried me through this event." And here in Psalm 139, David acknowledges God's rule over his days and our days. He's speaking to anyone ever born. This is what this passage ultimately is saying, but he's particularly speaking about the redeemed in the earth and what God's plans and His purposes, His ordained days that He has set forth that are coming. Incredible. So He not only formed us in our mother's womb, and He saw us, He beheld us. It says that He wrote the days that were ordained for us. Now this is a staggering truth. Before your mom ever knew she was pregnant with you, God had ordained your days. In the fall of 1960, my mom had me in the womb and she didn't even know it. But God was forming me. He saw me. And it says here, according to His word, that He had ordained or He had written the days that were yet to come for me. That ought to overwhelm you today. That's enough today to send us all away on our face worshiping the great God who is and forever reigns. Incredible. So, beloved, think on these things. You children, you young people, let this grip you today. Take a few moments to reflect on 2018. Think on the days that you've been through. We've been through so many things that it gets overwhelming, but we ought to stop and think on these together. And then you as husbands with your wives or families, you single brothers as you visit, reflect, give God the glory, remember all that He's done. And so as we do this today, you know, I'll move quickly. I want to just quickly reflect on some scenes or some days that we've been through, both at the national level, at the Providence Chapel level, and then in your lives. Now, let me assure you, I have to say this every year, especially you visitors. This is out of love. Anything that's me reflecting on you, it would come from all of the elders. They would say it in their own individual way. But these come out of love and care for all of you. As I kept going through notes and thoughts and through the months, I would keep a cheat sheet. I would write things down about things you'd been through or were going through. Because it's a way to remember you and pray for you and think on you in the right way. Let's just move quickly here. The national scene. This can be overwhelming. It can go on for hours. Political events. President Trump met with the North Korean leader. The first time a president in the United States had ever met with the North Korean leader. Huge series of events going on there. The nomination and examination of Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. And became a social media phenomena, right? Became this polarizing event of this potential Supreme Court justice in his high school days, his college days. And I was driving to a meeting. I had an extensive drive and I was listening to some of those hearings, examinations, if you want to call those. America was very focused in on what was going on. The fall elections came just a few months back and the Democrats gained new seats. There's this moving of power in the plans of men, and God ordains the days of men. That's the truth of it. And recently, the government shutdown. How do you describe a government shutdown to seven-year-olds? I'd like you to help me understand that. How would you explain that? It kind of begs the question. Isn't that kind of crazy? Government shutdown? What are we talking about? Government shutdowns. Natural disasters. We've had natural disasters that are really overwhelming to think of this last year. Hawaii, the big island, has had a volcano eruption, an earthquake, and a hurricane this past year. Probably not the number one travel spot this year because of all the difficulties there. Incredible if anybody's ever been on that island. Last time I was there, I was a 10-year-old boy. But it is phenomenal, the things, the California fires. Now, there's not just the campfire thing that was going on this most recently, that was so massive. But if you go back even to the earlier part of 2018, fires in California have brought ongoing destruction for months. Some of the imagery you'll see is just overwhelming. Photography, the loss of lives and property. Hurricanes, Hurricane Florence that went through the Carolinas. Massive flooding, record flooding, incredible, catastrophic destruction from Florence. God sends, right, the rains, right? He maketh the lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of His treasuries. It's awesome. It's overwhelming. Hurricane Michael went through Florida, went ripping along Florida. Great devastation there too. And other natural disasters. And we feel compassion for those who've been through so much. There are Christians in all different places who minister and go and help and do practical things to help people and love people and evangelize them, yes, but to care for people. Those opportunities come. social and cultural woes. America is just unraveling morally, emotionally, intellectually. It's unraveling social and cultural woes. Sad things. The Me Too movement. The Me Too movement is a moment in time in America. It has stirred emotions and protests and outbursts all year. There's been senseless killing continuing to go on in America and other parts of the world, obviously. Senseless shooting, so much so that students at the high school level and the collegiate level have simply just walked out of classes, protested even being in school because there's such heartache or agony over guns and killing and senseless things going on. The immigration crisis. I'm not here, brethren, to answer these things. I'm not trying to hear, even to give it a real extensive opinion. I just want to remember what days have we lived through? What days are we in? The immigration crisis is a very, very turbulent situation. Very difficult. And we as Christians ought to have a heart to view it and care for people or view the situation from a biblical worldview. The duck boat sinking in Branson, Missouri. Y'all remember that this summer? It's just seeming like it's such a small event, but 17 people died when that small boat went underwater during the storm out in the water there in Branson. Krista and I had been through Branson just a month before. And when I saw pictures and some of the footage of what happened, I had remembered that vantage point from a spot we had been at down by the lake. So it did grip me. It could have been Krista and I away this past summer. God says it's time to take His children home. It could have been us. We see that our life is in His hands, right? And another social woe. Bill Cosby handcuffed and hauled off to jail in September. That is sad. Very sad. Those who died. Keep going on and on. Those who died. Aretha Franklin, called the Queen of Soul, age 86, passed. By the way, the King of the Soul is Jesus Christ. It gripped me when I thought, that's a play on words. If you're going to sing to one, we sing to the King of Kings. John McCain, age 81, passed. A unique man, incredible background in terms of his military time and then, of course, his political serving through the years in Congress, etc., running for president. John McCain passed at 81. Barbara Bush died in April. And her husband died 8 months later. Mr. and Mrs. Bush, I have memories in early years of our marriage and when he was in his presidency. Number 41, as they call him, number 41, died this past month. He and his wife lived to extended years. Billy Graham, age 99, died in February. And I'll have to say this, the world took notice. He was the most known evangelist in the 20th century. No reason to bring anybody else's name forward. He was the most widely known Christian representative, if you want to say that, in the world. That's a big statement. Very big statement. And I remember hearing him in the first event that was ever opened at Texas Stadium, which doesn't even exist there anymore. But when they opened it in 72 or 3, whatever that was in the summer, the first event was the Billy Graham Crusade. And I went as a young boy. I believe I'd already been converted, but I remember being in that big stadium with the hole in the roof listening to Billy Graham. God took him home for the glory of His name. And our beloved brother, Conrad Murrell, died in February. One of the most unique and gifted Christian men you would have ever met in your life. Just unique. There's no reason with Brother Conrad to compare anybody else to him. He was just unique. And he just loved Christ. He loved the Bible. He loved churches. He loved people. He was just a tremendous brother to know and watch. I watched him more from afar. Brother Michael and Mac and others were much closer. But Conrad Murrell was God's man in God's day for the glory of God's name. Just precious. There's a few strange things to mention. Nationally, there are always strange things. We have to be careful, right? I have to be real careful what I read. But in our culture, in our society, there are things that are happening that you go, what was the word of the year? Anybody find that reading recently what the word of the year was? They do this every year. Toxic. that hit me as much more expressive than just that it was a political term or it was a media term being used. It's the most recognized word for the 2018, toxic. What a symbol or statement that is about the culture as a whole. Toxic. Toxic in its moral sense. Toxic in its worldview sense. Toxic in its anger and hatred. Toxic in its political uprising and arrogance. Toxic. You think of that word, that'll take you somewhere. Because it'll say men need a savior. What it's saying is there are sin and sinners everywhere. Oh Lord, help. Come Lord Jesus. Another very strange thing, maybe for you car enthusiasts, Tesla, the car makers. What possessed them to do that? Apparently they own or have another space advancing company or space exploration company. Tesla does. Somehow they're tied in. They launched a red sports car into space with a dummy guy in an astronaut suit. There's some amazing imageries of a red Tesla in space with this dude, supposedly, looking back at the Earth. Is that strange to you? Do you think we could have used the money in a little different, better, in a better way? I think we could have. I think Joel and I know with Lee, we could have sat down and said, I got some ideas, Tesla, what you do with this money. That's the arrogance and vanity of man. That is a conjecture, comment on my part. And my favorite story that's strange is based on a man named Arista Furman. Mr. Furman. Who knows Arista Furman? He holds the most Guinness World Records of any man. He holds 225 records. This guy needs a counselor. He needs somebody to help him. The guy, what he's doing, he had to get another. You know, it's just not enough. You got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing things that are strange. In 60 seconds, laying on his back, just with a regular shirt on, his friends putting watermelons on him. Think about this. Move it. And with a sword, chunk, chunk. Cutting watermelons laying on your back. Mr. Furman needs help. That's going too far. It's neat to learn how to jump and to climb mountains, but you've gone too far. How many could he do in 60 seconds? Anybody want to guess? He set a record, 256 records now. He cut 26 watermelons in 60 seconds. I mean, you got to have your buddies moving watermelons in a hurry. Only in America. Well, those are things that just quickly at the national level. Here at Providence Chapel, think about, do you ever reflect back over the months we've been through? I know the Rachel and the others that put together that calendar, those are tremendous because they remind us of moments together, special gatherings, the retreats and all. But let me hit the high spots. In January, we had the men's retreat out at Camp Copus. In February, Dr. Joel Beakey and his wife Mary were with us. That was awesome. His speaking to the men that Sunday night in his last time will probably in my life will be one of the top 10 things I've ever heard preached or taught in person. Just phenomenal. The passion and reality and the depth of what was coming from him that night. What a privilege to be under times like that. In March, one of the great heroes to Mac and I and others, a man who loves ice cream, Jeffrey Thomas, came here, right here, and preached and taught and was with us. And you talk about a man who lives with life and vigor. Incredible. March and April, at the end of March, the first day of April, we had our fellowship conference out at Camp Copus, our eighth consecutive conference out there. The original one was in Oklahoma 9 years ago. But we had those times, hundreds and hundreds of people, Christians coming, families from all over the country, from other countries. What a precious time those are. That we ought to stop and give God the glory. All of these memories. In May and June, the church plant that started in Azle, Bridgeport, Decatur, wherever you want to point that out. It started out there. But it was a church plant with Brother Jason being ordained in the eldership and God sending forth his servant and some of the dear families that were here with us that are now a part of that. Christ building his church. September and October, a new deacon and a new elder, Brother Jared and Brother Allen. I'll touch on this in a few minutes. the giving of God or Christ in His church, men that will give themselves as servants of the Most High. What a privilege. In October, the women's retreat and the singing that the women do. I love that. In November, the men's retreat. That's right, you visitors. We had a retreat in January and in November. The men need more help than the women. That's the bottom line. We need much grace. But we had two retreats in 1 year, I think Lee said. Guys, we should be able to get some help this year. We've had two retreats. We've had two wonderful times. And in December, the first time in the history of our church, 18 and a half years, the first time that a child quoted word for word every verse that the man who had read in the New Testament reading last Sunday. Alan reads 20 verses or something, and Alistair, wherever he is, stands up or sat here at the children's time and quoted word for word exactly what Alan had read 10 minutes earlier. Oh, yes. You children, love the Bible. Love God's Word. Love what Jesus speaks to us. It is God-breathed. It's given to us. Precious. How about the events in our lives? This gets back now to David saying, "And in thy book were written all the days that were ordained for me." We've had hard days, good days. We've had days that have stretched us, laboring days. We've had fruitful days. I mean, I'm talking about at the individual level. When I think of you and I think of the different categories here, I could put different families, because things that would come to mind, in different categories. But these are just the ones that I settled on that come to my mind on in your lives as we look back at the year. There were days of joy, days of rejoicing. There are just moments, weeks, days that are full of joy unto Him. Jeff and Tommy had another daughter, Jane. Precious, wonderful. Another way of saying it is, Lainey got a little sister. What a gift of God. Another girl, another daughter. And it's just precious to see that family and another little girl there mixed in the family. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They're His gift. Jonathan and Elena, I don't think they're here. Jonathan and Elena, a first daughter, Abigail. Their first daughter. That means that Enoch and Apollos, you better scoot over, guys, big brothers. It's time for little sister to get some attention. You guys go easy with her. Love her and look after her. But a daughter, it's a different journey. It's a different journey. Sons and daughters, gifts of God. But there's even as a parent, now as a grandparent, how you view them and how you treasure them and how you want to see the work of God in them. Just yesterday, holding one of my youngest grandson and just looking at him, singing there with him and just thinking on big things, things that David is saying here that were in God's book, were written all the days of little bitty Luke. He's 11 weeks old and his days are written. Oh God, use him for your glory. That's our prayer for your children, these gifts of God. God would use them. Mac and Linda had some joyful days. The summer trip, getting all those neat pictures, the health trip, as I call it, and getting some relief and feeling better and sending these pictures of the beautiful views out across the open plains, the beautiful area. That was a joyful time, a joyful trip, wonderful encouragement. And then what I call the Northwest drive back. You fly in, was it Seattle? And driving that car, driving that van all the way back to Texas. Those are gifts of God. Treasured times together for them. Joyful in the Lord. Stephen and Kathy Gage, another son. Joyful gift of God in giving another son, young Jacob, who is about the size of a second grader already. Right, Lee? We were with them. I know Stephen and Kathy, or y'all, if you're watching from home or listening, That's a man among boys. That Jacob, he's 8 months old and he's this big, growing, young boy. Amazing. But the gift of God, again, in giving sons. You know, Brother Alan. Where's Alan again? Right there, brother. Just you preaching today on the name of Judah, the lineage of God. And I was thinking of just how profound this is when we think about in just our day. And the lineages and the posterity that God gives. Saints, these truths are for all generations. We don't read these passages and think, well, that was just true in their day. He knew us. He knows our children. He knows our grandchildren. We can believe God for great things through these children for His name's sake. He is on the throne. He's ruling the kingdoms and the nations. And He has all of us. And the young Jacob, that 8-month-old boy, could be mighty in the hands of God in his days. Oh, Lord, make it so. My dear wife, Krista, has had some good health improvements. Thank you, Lord, for mercies. Such a great God. And the Durhams, where did y'all come from? How did you get here? What's going on, Mom? Who brought them here? Victoria and... It's just incredible. Michael and Karen, it was just a few weeks ago, we were on the phone and it was just like, I could just feel this, something's about to happen. And here you are. And Joseph coming, it's just incredible. A new state. Yeah, you can wear those boots now, brother. Just wear them. You're in the right place to wear those boots. A new state, a new church, and new days for all of you. It's magnificent. The tapestry, the plans of God, the purposes of God that will never be thwarted, never be stopped. His kingdom marches on. Here they are. What a blessing. We are both to receive and give with each other. It's not one way. It's us being strengthened in Christ Jesus together. Jake and Esther. I always want to look right there because that's where I think of Jake and Esther. Their first son, Abel. The gift of God, a little bitty guy, but by the grace of God, life, growing, gaining ground. Their first little boy, what a gift, what a blessing. Again, the gift of children brings joy and rejoicing. Yes, responsibility. A bit of overwhelmed sense, right, for the dads and for the moms, but the gift of a son. And Cody and Jill, a new baby, really close. Mom is close. The new baby's coming, another gift, another child in the perfect plan of God given to your family. Blessed be the Lord. So those are just quick thoughts on days of joy and rejoicing, thanksgiving. Some of those are very personal in your lives. Some of them we all celebrated with you. But they're very precious. But there's been days of sorrow. Days of hard things. Things that are just heavy. Part of the beauty and the heaviness of our app is getting instant information. Is some days there's a lot of heavy that comes through. We are cast upon Him, are we not? Day by day, breath by breath, ever depending. God will take care of us, right? Whatever betide, God will take care of us. We're trusting Him. Sister Ray. Just health struggles, loneliness at times. Those are hard things. The way he thinks you feel about your daughter. We feel these things. We feel them together. You talk about a sister who God has carried along for decades. Whew. Beautiful. An ever-present Savior. And her life has reflected that. For James and Elizabeth. For the Kasumas. It's been hard days, I know, for James's health. I don't think they're here with us today. But James shares. He's such a gentle brother, such a sincere man, and wonderful family, wonderful children. But his health, the struggles of his physical man, needing the Lord to touch him, heal him, give him strength. And he's had better days at times, but this, the fullness of what they go through there, praying for improvements, praying for advancement and strength in his labor and his work and things that requires. I think, beloved, without me saying it, we realize how important, how right it is to pray for each other. Yes. To bear each other's burdens and to walk with each other. Baker and Jane Hughes, you know, I could have put in the category of the joyful of coming to be with us and that would apply, but when I think of their year, there's been hard things, heavy things because of Heidi, their daughter's health. It's a constant struggle. She's very frail, very difficult days. And then Baker's mom, Janie. Only a few of us have ever met her. And there she is in Albuquerque. She's, you know, out there and they're here. And Baker's gone back and forth ministering to his mom. Those are heavy days. Those are lonely days of God taking Baker in the car and him just praying, looking to the Lord for his mom. He wants to love and care and be faithful for his mom the days and years she has left. And we can pray for them. Nick and Jamie Hansen, the ongoing health struggles for Isaiah. I don't think the Hansons are here, but I remember vividly in the pastoral visit time I had with them, with Jamie elaborating on Isaiah's health struggles, the delicate nature of that, and needing much grace and help. And Nick, at times, sharing with us, right? And just the need there for grace of God. We feel these things together. Kevin and Sherry, which again, there's only a certain number of us have even been with them and know them. Precious, beloved brethren. Early in the year and then as we moved forward, trying to help with Shane. Y'all remember Shane, her brother, trying to help in his life. But those were hard things. It's hard things to give and have hope and hope in things for change and hope in days, new days in his life. And they have been through much there. They did it unto the Lord. They love him. They've given of themselves to him. But it has been hard. It is hard. But beloved, whatever is done unto Christ is done right. It's done in a pure heart. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain, whatever labor it is. The gospel of Christ has been shown and declared, and we have hope in what God will ultimately do in Shane's life. And I know they have great hope there. Jonathan Thompson, brother back there, I know there's been hard days again with his son that he loves, John David. And just wanting to see God bring that young man out of this and into the kingdom of his son, Jesus Christ. Bring him into Christ Jesus, that JD would come and we get to be with him in fellowship in Christ. God can do it. Yes. Yes, he can. God will do it. We need to look to him. We need to ask him for the new birth and for a trophy of grace. Nathaniel and Caitlin Walquist. Some hard days. Struggles with extended family. And again, I'm not trying to get into detail, but just some struggles there. Needs for grace. Needs for what do I say? What do I communicate? How do I handle this? Well, we're constantly in need of these things, right? How do I handle a relationship? And God is carrying them along, helping them, and giving wisdom and grace as they journey on. Tanner and Callie, they're not here, are they? The loss of her father, just suddenly. They just moved to Colorado. And God took him. That was a hard note to get in the middle of a day. It was hard. And yet, the way they've walked through it, and the grace of God carrying him through it, and giving just grace and tender care for them, has been beautiful to behold. But I know the loss is real. And know that it is. That her father is gone now. She has her mother to redeem days with. May God give fresh grace and encouragement. Clint and Sarah, just you losing your grandmother not long ago. Those were very tender notes you were sending out about your love for a grandmother. And you had to let her go. And God took her and there was a great joy in it. I know there was a joyful side to it, but it's a loss. It's a loss. There's a generation that passed. We feel it. There is a right kind of godly or heartfelt sorrow that our Lord felt, knows. He went to Lazarus' grave and wept. He delays to go there for the glory of God. He's going to raise him. And he gets there and he enters into great compassion with those that he loved and he wept with them. Now that's a sympathizing Savior, a caring, loving, ever-present Savior. And raises him then from the dead. They go from tears to rejoicing. Sarah released her grandmother, and as I understand it, she went to be with Jesus forever. Glory to his name. And Ron and Karen Pulaski, some of my favorite Christians in all of the world, just love them. Precious. Brother Ron coming through that heart surgery. And you different ones of you that ministered to him. And I got to see him the night before, that last evening before the surgery, and being with him and one of his sons. And just God carrying him. Those are hard days. But God is, he's just brought them along. He's ordained their days and he has them. He has his children. So there have been days that were hard, sorrowful days. I'll keep moving along here. Days that were new. New days. special days. If you want to call them new chapters, new kind of turning of the page, new things in your life. Josh Young moving into the Providence House. What a kindness of God. This time last year, there were just hard things. And God said, come forth. And your mom get to move here. Man, those are some good news. Good new things in your life. The care of God, the growth of God in your life, brother. It's just wonderful. It's wonderful. Daniel Freeland, brother, here you are. We didn't know 2 years ago. We didn't know 20 months ago. Probably didn't know 6 months ago you'd be sitting here. But God has sent you here, and it is real, and you're here in the will of God for your good, for our good, and for the glory of Christ. Make these days very, very fruitful in your life. Redeem them. You're a single. You single guys, maximize your days. Learn from the Jim Elliots. Learn from those kinds of men how to maximize your days. Because there's bigger days or different days coming where you'll have responsibilities that will stretch you. But the days now that you're being built up in the most holy faith, they will be for what's ahead. Philip and Megan, new days. They got a baby on the way. Right? And Jared and Joanne have their first grandchild coming. That's another story, a wonderful story. But new days of preparation. Now, I haven't looked at, since we met in our last pastoral time, not in your place, but are y'all getting that room ready? Getting everything ready? Yeah. Phillip's back there nodding his head. Yes. They're new days. I flash back with Chris and I being young and having our first child. They're amazing in the bond and the experience of our marriages. A life given. Wow. God gives life. May the Lord uphold Megan and give great joy and deliverance of child and wonderful days of rejoicing. John and Kathy, having Verna move in, having her be with y'all, what it means for y'all as a family, what if it means for you in serving one another, and the house having to get repackaged, for lack of a better way of putting it. That's not just changing out a few chairs and beds, is it? But the kindness of God, the purposes of God, and Verna now being here with the family and all that God has in that. These are new days and new opportunities and new. It stretches everybody. It stretches everybody in good ways. God can use it and does use it in our lives. Leslie, new days. I knew writing this one down, I thought, this nothing's not going to be easy. Seeing you going through the joy and in giving your kids, as you've done since they were little, to the Lord in this next chapter of their life. Sometimes I just say something to her, and her eyes fill up with water, and I think I know what she's thinking, and I'm feeling things I'm thinking. I won't be able to go much further on this one, because these are heavy but precious moments. I mean, I say to Claire and I say to Nathan, these are great kids. And I tell Leslie, oh, sister, rejoice in all that God's given you. Release them unto Him. We're not our own. They're not ours, right? They're His. But what a beautiful thing to see y'all's love with your mom. And I just love coming over and having those times. I wish that guy right there was sitting there. Alan and Legia. Yeah, just routine days, right? Everybody's just, you know, you're studying, working, caring for a family, becoming an elder. It's just routine stuff. Just like you see in a college curriculum. That's the degree plan? No, that's not what we're talking about. God's setting you apart, your life, your family, what y'all do in hosting the prayer meeting, giving of yourself. But new days of labor. Just today, Alan teaching today. I thought, Genesis 38? I thought, brother, you're getting into some deep water there. But it was wonderful. And I'm thinking, how are we going to get part two quicker? Rethink the schedule. We love y'all. We cherish you, and we know God's with you. Wonderful new days for you. Joseph, new days. Last time I checked, you came with this bunch. But now new days. You're in the Providence House. You're laboring, doing things to help here in the church, full of joy. And you just have an excitement. You feel these are the days that God's appointed. To think when you were in mom's tummy, before she knew it, God had ordained these days. Profound, real, the God of past and the future in it all, reigning. Beautiful. We're so glad you're here, brother. Michael and Antia, the new prayer meeting in South. We call it the South Prayer Meeting. Wonderful We thank y'all and love y'all and cherish your hospitality. Your warmth is just contagious. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I keep saying to Chris and the kids, you got to come with me. We got to go south. Go to that prayer meeting. And hey, they did candlelight for you, Alan, the other night. I looked at that and I nearly sent a note back. I thought, man, I didn't get candles only in any of the prayer meetings. It looked like a fun time. It's really special. But thank y'all for your lives and your openness to all of us. Darius, new job. Where is that guy back there? A new job, new opportunities. It's a new chapter, what God has. You know, it's really, that was a big prayer request, a big, big focus in your life. And I'm looking forward to more time to talk on it. But just go with Him. Let Him take you. Let Him own you, your thoughts, your creativity, your skills. Go with Christ for His glory. Jared and Joanne, so many things, lots of new, but new grandchild on the way. A new house. But being ordained or put into the role of a deacon, the office of a deacon. Brother and sister, thank you for your lives, your care, and Jared, for your heart's desire to serve Christ Jesus and His church. Remember, it says He purchases a good report in great boldness in the faith. He that serves in the office of deacon well. What a statement that is that Paul's saying to Timothy. A good report, a faithful report. Brother, it's you, these other dear deacons, these men that have been faithful. God has all of you. He's appointed these days, and we rejoice for what you are and what your families mean. I enjoyed thoroughly my time with all of them, with the guys, just a week or two ago. Very precious. Nick and Katie, I don't think they're here today, but Nick and Katie, new days because they're new in the church, new with us. I appreciated when Nick shared with us recently about being here, looking forward to what's ahead, sharpening one another, right, in the things of Christ. So those are some new things. I'll move along here. There were some of you who had day, well, we all had new things. We all had days of rejoicing, but some of you I put in this category of days that were laborsome, toilsome. I mean, just demanding. Anybody have any of those? I had two or three days like that. No, it's real. Laborsome, toilsome days. Sometimes thankless days, it seems like. But nothing under Christ is laborsome or toilsome in the ultimate sense, because He's with His children. Nick and Erica, the work. Sometimes it's the weeks, the struggles, the work, right? Those are hard days. And it carries over. It carries over to just what you're feeling and what y'all talk about in your marriage. And it's those weeks can be hard. And you have to keep plowing along. You have to keep looking unto Him. You have to keep believing God. He'll open the right time, the right place, and the right opportunity, whether it be in work or in life, just in life, right? By faith. Abraham sojourned into a country that was not his own. You think by faith, Noah built the ark, right? By faith. We see these things in each other's life. And I know, brother and sister, you've just got to strengthen each other in Christ Jesus and go forward. Be faithful in these days. David and Ebony. Full days. There's Sister Ebony out there. I see you out there. I didn't know if you'd get to be here, if that baby would already come. But she's close, isn't she? But days that they're tiresome, wearisome. Children, needs of children, trying to shepherd and impact Quentin's life, launching him out, seeing God work there and give an open door. Those are tiresome days, laborsome days for each of you, David and Ebony. But we just get our strength, our hopes in God, right? We're laboring unto Him. I have grown children, but I don't quit praying and longing for great things for God in them. All of them, they know that. It's real. We're feeling what we long for with God. And Sister Valerie and the family, lots of labor, lots to care for. Little ones, grandpa being there, her mother moving, lots of challenges in the home, lots of difficult days, hard weeks. The need of grace, the need of a great Savior to speak and calm and encourage and bring truth and help is only He does. Those are laborsome days. I know they're on their trip. For you older girls, this is a good time to say this, and our love for you. You come under the umbrella of a family unit. If I tried to cover all of you, I'd be done. As Michael said, we'd have to take a lunch break and then we start over again. But the love for you young ladies and in seeing your lives and having you here, we cherish that. And that you're in this labor. You're a part of that labor. You're a part of the care for each other and helping each other. But those are full days and full weeks. Look to the Lord. Greg Cram. Greg, are you motoring around back there somewhere? There he is. Just hard days with your health. Yeah, we know that. And difficult days and toilsome days in your own way and in your own needs. And our desire to help and love you and care for you and see that you're taken care of. And it's real. We feel it. We want for you great things in Christ. That's our great desire, for you to seek the Lord, know Him, walk with Him, and Him to give you joy and strength, fresh strength. Brian and Michelle, labor some days, toil some days, not just because Jesse works with you every now and then. Just picking on you, Jess. But Brian lets Jess work. But just having a family move there, parents move there. That's not just a little tent you're popping up back there. Labor some days, days to give yourself for good, for the advancement of the grace of God in family, the grace of God in His church. Years ago, I had to call Charles Leiter on a big thing. I was kind of similar to what y'all are going through. And I was struggling how to view it. And Charles said, Philip, if you can see tangibly the advancement of the kingdom of God in things in your family or things in the church, you can have a greater peace about it. That's a good rule of thumb. Am I making decisions? Am I spending money? Am I spending time? Am I doing things? Can I see tangible benefit in the kingdom of God towards my children, the family, and to the bride or His people, His church? And I respect, Brian and Michelle, what you're doing and what you've been laboring towards. It's a good labor. It's a very good labor. And may God bring fruit. Kyle and Jennifer, long days at work, tiresome days, man. And fatigue, ongoing struggles, financial struggles. Is the heater working? Is the heater working today? The heater's working today. Yes. Praise be to God. Things that are just, they're there. We have to look unto Him. We have to trust in God, right? Some trust in chariots and some in princes, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We remember Him. We trust in Him. Yes, He's got the air conditioners and the heaters in His hand. He's got it all. And He's got our days. And when we're at the end, we're fatigued and tired, we look to Him. Lord, help me, strengthen me, minister to Your servant. The great patriarchs in the Old Testament, that's what they prayed. They looked to God. Kyle and Jennifer, with your precious children, look to God. Trust in Him. He'll strengthen. Tom and Betty, still just hard days with grown children. Hard days, heavy things, things you feel, long for, things, breakthroughs, victories. God do great things. I see it. I feel it. I know. I sense that with both of you, that you have those longings. For those that are listening and still have little ones, it doesn't just stop when they just go out the door. When Quentin just goes to the army, it doesn't just stop. These are our children that we love and we pray for and care for. And Tom and Betty have grown children and, of course, grandchildren. But some of those days and weeks are heavy, aren't they? Just like Wednesday, the way he shared at prayer meeting. They're toilsome. Lord, I keep planting. I'm wanting to water, but Lord, You must bring the increase. You must do it. Ian and Leslie Leiter, still amazing that they're with us, that they came. Charles, if you ever listen to this, once again, ha, ha, ha. Mona, they're here. We're keeping them. You got them for visitation only. And she sent that picture. I think she sent that picture to us just to rub it in a little bit. They're here right now. She sent a picture of Ian and Leslie and the kids. And I thought, yeah, but they're coming back. They're coming back. What a precious thing. Their days, and when I think of toilsome, I know for Ian and his work, they've been some difficult days in his work with work colleagues, those that don't know Christ, the ungodly, men of the world, their schemes, their words, their jokes, their language, their life. They need to be called out of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. But Ian has shared openly and a lot this past year of those struggles, business travels, just needing much grace. There. Last category, days that were fruitful. Days that are fruitful. All of us in different ways, perhaps, could stop and reflect over days that were fruitful. Who brings the fruit? God. Who gets the glory? God. But there's days that have been fruitful that we rejoice in together. Ron and Janet, I just appreciate your lives and your steady work, your steadiness and your faithfulness, and how now you're in that chapter with grown kids and grandkids and a lot of them out there. But your heart's desire is to see growth and grace and their lives to be fruitful and for them to know Christ and walk with Him. And I appreciate that about y'all's lives from the day one, really meeting you and knowing you and cherishing that, learning together in this chapter. God would make you more and more fruitful. The patriarchs were fruitful until the end. They were. God was with them. Pat and Liz, your ministry near and far. I mean, you are talking about people you just met, you're ministering to. You're talking about these ladies that Liz ministers to, your go places and your minister to. I'm thinking, do they ever go to the grocery store or anything like that? It's just there's a certain ethic, a certain mindset that you have, and I respect it. It's an example that you're wanting to minister people in the gospel and put truth for people. Man, as I said earlier, America desperately needs all of us to be salt and light and to speak of one glorious Savior that draws men to Himself and who is reigning in heaven above, and we will be with Him soon. Yes, continue on, Pat and Liz. Brother Eric Gentry, there he is back there, working with Stephen Gage. That's a fruitful thing. You had any performance reviews lately? I'm just kidding. But, wow, we didn't see that coming. Helping him, working, learning each other, you know, him helping you, you guys being able to strengthen each other in God. Be fruitful. You just shared the other night about that prayer or that prayer need. The guy that you went to see, he lives alone, older man, and Eric had an opening in the gospel. That's, brother, that's how to be fruitful, just to have a word in season. Thank you for sharing that with us. May God use it more and more. Rami and Rachel. Now, it's really not fair that Rachel's not there. I call that guy a guy with a 747 engine in him. Unashamedly. Sometimes I say two 747 engines in him. John could tell us how much horsepower that is if I pull John aside. It's a lot of horsepower. But that's Rami. He's a kind of a Renaissance guy. You're a U.S. citizen, but what country do you live in? You're a multifaceted. It's just amazing. The fruitful, brother, it's precious to us that we've had you with us. We know the days are clicking away now that Jordan and the move is coming, but I don't think I'm going to see you off that day. I don't think I can do it. I mean that in a loving way. But the Jordan conferences and these men working with you and just being fruitful in that, bless it. For us, I'm trying to look into that when I hear you men give reports. It's amazing. And that U.S. citizenship, what a wonderful day that was. Thank you, Lee, for sharing pictures and all with us. And your dear wife, boy, you've been blessed immensely there. Sister Rachel is very dear. David and Marisa, fruitful. As I kidded last year or the year before, you need something done, 1-800-HOLZLANDERS. That bunch can do it. We appreciate your life and your love and your labor. I say that, your great kids that you have. You got great kids. I mean, these are young, these are adults, and I know that, and we love them. We marvel. We wonder at times what's written in their days, for their days coming. God has them. But we appreciate your lives and your faithfulness to us, all of us, that we feel it. David, you as laboring in the role of a deacon and giving your life and labors there. And Marisa and all of you, it's just wonderful, fruitful for all of us. Jonathan Hebert, a fruitful year. You've been here now 14 months. I don't know the exact days. Lee could help me calculate it, but 14 months. It's still beautiful and wonderful that you're here in the will of God. Stronger days, if I could say. Days that are new, yes, but days that have fruit to them and what you're about and what your focus is on. Very, very so joyful to have you here and get to know you more and share in each other's lives. Jason Courtney. Jason's not here today, is he? Is he seeing family right now? Jason's just having stronger days. It's great to see Jason being fruitful. You talk about a neat thing. He's translating from one language to another gospel messages. And he's good at it. Really good. You guys have seen him do it. You've labored with him. And it's like in that God's given him joy in the truth. It's been a really wonderful to see him gaining strength and joy. Joel and Laura. Yeah, I wasn't going to leave you off. You're sitting on the front row. Fruitful days. Your gospel ministry to extended family. And you were gone, what, July? She was gone like 9 months or something? Felt like it, didn't it? But she was gone a while. But you were there with a purpose. You had a kingdom purpose. Your friendships, the way you talk about your family and your mom and this whole interaction. There's a desire to see fruit to the glory of God. There's a desire to speak to people. And so it's just a wonderful thing for us to hear from you and get the feedback and see your desire that way. Whether it be somebody 2 blocks away or 2 miles away or somebody 6 states away. Your heart desire to speak the gospel to people that need Christ is a beautiful thing. The Dodds are left. Mr. and Mrs. Dodd. I could say so much about all of you. The Jordan trips, Lee getting to go and do those. Fruitful days. I'm sure there's men over there that now love you and cherish you. Amber, you're helping in the ladies' study. You're giving of yourself, loving the sisters, loving the gathering of your... Just beautiful, the fruit that God's giving there and the bond. You've been here, what, 8 years? You sure you weren't here 18 when it started? It's just beautiful, wonderful to see your lives and to see your gifts and your heart's desire and your care for the ladies there in the home and the young ladies, your daughters. There's fruit. It's just beautiful to see the fruit of Christ in your lives. We each need it. We each need more of that. We want to abound, right? We want to be fruitful in every good work. We want to be about our Savior's kingdom. Let me wind down. Thank you for your patience. Beloved, it's pretty obvious from today and God's word and these reflections that God has kept our days in 2018. It is the year of our Lord. These next 2 days in this year is the year of our Lord. In 2019, if it comes, is the year of our Lord Christ Jesus. The kingdoms are all subject to Him. The days are His, and He has kept our days, and He has been with us, and we've been through hard times and joyful times, and we've been through toiling times. We've been through days that are new, turning a new page, and we've had days that we felt, yes, the Lord's bringing fruit. But all of this, all the way our Savior leads us, all of it's of Him. It's the grace of God. As Brother Allen says, He is good. God is good. Yes, He is. And we can trust Him for what lies ahead in 2019. Right? He's brought us this far. His grace has brought us safely through, right? God will bring us onward for His name's sake. Amen. Let me pray. Father, to Your name be the glory. Today and forever. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name be the glory, for Thy mercy and Thy truth's sake. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for shepherding us, loving us, calling us into Your marvelous kingdom, and giving us life in Christ Jesus. Abundant life, real, living, thriving, spiritual life, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, leading us on. There's none like You. Thank You, Lord. Bless Your flock. As we finish these last 2 days, as we come together tonight, bless the saints with joy today as they reflect. And take us on. Be exalted in us for the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen.